Systems work. People fail. Welcome to InsureMark's Advisor Mentorship Podcast with Vice President Jeremy Hauser, where we share proven systems and processes for the 21st century advisor. Today, it's essential that advisors find a way to differentiate themselves from the competition. Learn how to elevate your game and accomplish incredible feats as Jeremy teaches you how to build a more successful and sustainable business while realizing a better work-life balance is not only possible, but achievable.
Benjamin Franklin once said, "For every minute spent in organizing, an hour is earned." Welcome to this week's episode of the Advisor Mentorship Podcast. I'm your host, Jeremy Hauser, and our guest today is Colleen Bowler, CFP, who spent over 25 years building and growing her planning firm, Strategic Wealth Planners. Along the way, she received numerous industry awards, and she implemented a three-year succession plan that successfully worked. Colleen has actually served as a strategic coach for a strategic coach program since 2003, and while raising a son as a single mom and co-authoring a book, Generous Kids. Without jumping too far ahead about the book and everything that's going on in Colleen's life after the succession plan, Colleen, how are we doing today?
Oh, we're good. Real good. It's bright and sunny in Dallas.
Bright and sunny in Houston. That's good, too.
There you go.
Yeah, so today's a good day. Want to jump ahead. A lot of success in your history here as an advisor, successfully transitioning out of the advisory world, someone taking over your business. We have a lot to unpack here in this quick little episode. But first and foremost, why don't we tell the audience a little bit about who Colleen is and a little bit about your story.
Who Colleen is, let's see, wife, mother, bonus mom, nana, sister, friend, daughter. Those would be my main accomplishments. And then I would say probably who I really am is a connector. I really love to connect people and ideas and empower people, especially into their future. That's basically who I am.
It's true and humbling too. So everything that you just mentioned, family first and really where you've gone in your career. A lot of the people that listen to this particular podcast are financial advisors. And I think something that they're very open to and want to hear more about, obviously, is the succession plan. But as an advisor who actually built up a firm, so your team as an RIA group had over $500 million the last time we chatted. What would you say in order to grow to that type of significance in your business? What was the breakthrough moment that helped you get to that type of success within your company?
You know, I'd have to start first with the lack of success, which was starting in the industry because somebody said, "Oh, you're good at math." I needed a job. I was going through a divorce. I had a sick 3-year-old. I made $14,000 the first year in the business and qualified for earned income credit. So when I speak with advisors, I always like, if I can do it, just about anybody can. Second year wasn't much better. But what I learned was what a friend of mine said later in time, you know, there are people attached to the money. Right. And sometimes as financial advisors, and especially starting in the business, I was trying to learn everything. And there's so much to learn. What I realized was I was really strong at asking people questions about where they are now and where did they want to go. And there were a lot of really wicked smart advisors in the industry who loved things like creating dynamic estate plans and do insurance and investments, that if I collaborated with them, I could learn alongside of them. So that was one way I did it, bringing everybody in, right? But also I said, what I want to do with our clients is build a moat around them. I always felt like, and we're going to talk about succession, but I always felt, you know, we've had incidences where people have passed away, accidents, you know, age, whatever. If people just relied on me, which is kind of how I built it in the beginning, I was always about, I can do this for you. I'll make sure this happens. I. Mm-hmm. And I think the breakthrough, as you call it, happened when I started saying we, when I started relying on my team, when I started relying on other advisors and started really building them up. One of my friends once again said to me, he heard me on a call just say, yeah, I'll get it done. He goes, well, you know, you keep saying it that way and you're never going to be able to take a vacation. I'm like, what are you talking about? Well, if they only rely on you, it was a huge thing for me to go from I to we. When we can get it done, that means anybody on my team can bring it to them. Anybody on my team can figure it out for them. It wasn't just me. And I believe that that was one of the key moments that allowed me to build this $500 million planning firm. And we did full plans and we did life insurance and we did investments and we did annuities and disability and long-term care. It was my firm, yes, but we did it and we did it together. And it allowed me to be gone half the time. I was gone about 50% of the time. Shh, don't tell him. Don't tell him. But I was. And I think it's, you know, the clients want to make sure things get done. It doesn't have to be you.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I actually want to park on that question because, I mean, that's huge of what you just said because I see it from my hands of where I sit, over 70 advisors that are currently on our team that I'm helping them day in and day out. And that is a challenge. So as they continue to grow and hiring the right people too, and being mindful enough to where it's okay that you know that somebody is going to care for that customer the same way you care for them, and giving up the trust and the opportunity for them to do that. So what is any advice to somebody who would struggle today from going from that I to we out of their verbiage, but also and not just advice to that person, but also for the person that is starting to do we, what was the receptiveness from your clients? And finally, the light bulb went off of like, it's okay. It's okay.
Yeah. You know what? They loved it. They loved it. And we'll talk about succession plan, but so much so that when we were done, I thought I'd have 5 to 10 clients. Big clients, lots of messy things, lots of multi-level generations that would rely on me, but and still want me on some of those calls. But we had done such a successful job at the team and creating the team around them. Now I see them and they're like, you want to go for a drink? They're not asking me about, you know, coming into the meeting. Mm-hmm. They do sometimes ask a couple of different things. It is that piece when we start in the business, we have to have a lot of ego to do what we do, to get all the no's, which Mary Kay Ash once said, you know, a no is just a no. That really helped me so that I could go get a bunch of yeses. Every time I got a no, it was like, you're just going to get some yeses, right? A no is just a no. But it helped me. I needed the ego to have the confidence to walk in the room. And I thought I had to know everything or be really, and I am wicked smart, but I realize people really just want you to make sure it gets done. They want to have that relationship. They want to talk about their families. I mean, I had a lot of meetings where all the stuff on the planning was maybe 5 or 10 minutes, and the rest was on the core family situations. As confidence builds, ego can hopefully go down, and that builds up we. We as capability.
That's really good.
I as ego, we as capability. And as we grow more capability and we look around and see all these really smart people like yourself, I mean, you would be on my team. I would be calling you and saying, listen, I have no idea about this. What do you say, right? I wouldn't mm-hmm. have any problem with you being on a call with a client mm-hmm. Because it is about we, and it is about doing the best thing for them.
I love that. And so for a lot of advisors today are in that struggle of also adding people to the team. So I'm glad you touched on that on today's call, because once again, a lot of good success in your years of doing the advisory side. And so for maybe some of the listeners that are on their back nine of what they're thinking about of life after being an advisor, and maybe they're thinking to themselves, you know, what would it be like, or how do I even approach somebody to have a succession plan? So what advice would you give an advisor who actually wants to sell their business and implement a succession plan?
So the first thing I would say, anybody that's listening on this call should have a death and disability plan in case something happened to them. So that already gets us thinking, what if we aren't here? Right? If you have worked hard, even if it's 3 or 4 years to start really building your practice, let's hope there's some value there. And let's hope that you want to take care of clients and team enough that you put something in place. So you've got to trust someone in the beginning that mm-hmm. that person, and there's all kinds of official forms and all that stuff. So that's the first thing I would say. Anybody, any age, we say that for our clients who are business owners, right? We say that we want to plan in place if something happens to you. But as financial advisors, we kind of forget about that. Mm-hmm. So that's the first thing. The second thing I would say is to be really curious, asking those questions about what can your future, what is it that you want to go towards? Maybe you want to go towards, like me, the last 10 years being there 50% time and then walking out, but you had to have let go a lot to only be there 50% time. You have to have really built up a we. So being curious, and I think with the conversations I have with many advisors who are wanting to build a succession plan, it will never be perfect. And decide what your wins are. Do you have a transactional firm or do you have a relationship firm? A transactional firm, you know, is really more about the money and you can be gone after 6 months. A relationship firm, like a planning firm, it's going to take 2 to 3 years to build over, right? So what is it? And then getting clear on your vision about what is it that you really want to have happen. Like for me, I was raised in industry and there's still a lot of disturbing tracks. And it really bothered me that my goal was to disturb people in order to do business with me. And so after being asked to speak and be part of all these groups and everything, I met this woman, Jeannie Hurlburt, PhD, who does all these wicked assessments. And I was like, I just wish I could download some of this wisdom into something that advisors could use. And so that kind of created the business that I have now as C&J Innovations. So it automatically gave me something to go towards. Other people, mm-hmm. they want to go towards more family time. Other people want to go towards, you know, more travel time. But I will say of all the advisors I know who have retired, it's retiring from what you don't love to do. If you really love being with people, you don't want to be isolated. You got to figure those things out in advance. It's just like what we say to our clients. You know, you have a financial wealth then, but you've got to have that spiritual wealth, that emotional wealth, that personal wealth, that exercise wealth, the health wealth.
And so starting, and you mentioned it, or you just mentioned it, C&J Innovations. So how long did that take you when it came to like succession plan was implemented? So how many years was that in place? And then till you were officially removing yourself and then onto the next chapter of your life, how can you kind of walk through that process of timeframes?
Yeah. So 2018 was when we started, and Ryan, who was my successor, and I had a dating successorship, which meant because I did joint work with a lot of advisors, I didn't build those advisors in my firm. I mean, I had some advisors in my firm. There weren't any of them that could have taken over the firm, which some advisors do. They build successors to take over the firm. So what I did was what I called dating. There were three advisors that I dated that we did joint work with to see whether or not it would be a good fit for our firm. And, you know, it's like the three bears in the chairs. It just wasn't a right fit because I wanted a win to the fourth. I wanted a win for me, a win for who was buying the firm, a win for the clients, and a win for the team, because my we team was really important to me. So another thing of what we just talked about, decide what your wins are. What do you want those wins to be? And so it was the fourth person that did that. So the first year, all we did, I introduced him as he was taking over the running of the firm. And to get that relationship started, he was in every meeting, handed every follow-up. So I just kind of relayed, I gave that information off to him. He ran with it. You know, the bigger clients than the second year I was with in those meetings. And then the third year was COVID. So I said, I wish somebody had been with me September 11th in 2008, 2009, because basically my job on video was just to say, you know, Jeremy, it's going to be okay. You know, the market goes up and the market goes down. And we've been through September 11th. We've been through 2008, 2009. This is different. It's always different, but we're going to get there. Right. So in that time frame in 2020 is when we were rolling out the ideas and the prototype of the assessments for C&J.
You know, it's what's fascinating on topic, off topic, but kind of on topic. In 2020 was really the opportunity for people to create change.
Yes.
I think that gave people an opportunity to be innovative, creative. And it sounds like you took, I mean, timing is everything too of where you were. So kudos to you. Yeah. 2020 was a good year for, I mean, obviously not a great year, but it was a good year for being innovative and creating new ideas. So,
well, and I think if one of the things I always say with advisors is when change happens, and it does, 2008, 2009 is going to happen again, right? Mm-hmm. We're going to have bad. If you get out from under your desk where everybody else is, they don't want to take client calls. They don't want to deal with all the bad news. If you say, hey, I'm here in good times. I'm here in bad times. I'm here for you. We are here for you and we are available. We brought in a lot of business and after September 11th, 2008, 2009, and during COVID, because other people's advisors weren't talking to them. And it's so when, when they're scared.
Yeah. And that's where, so, and you mentioned it earlier. So when you were on that journey and then transitioning out. So how long or when did C&J, did it kick off in 2020 or? Okay. So it happened to be a, was it a 3-year succession plan or how many years was, okay.
It was a 3-year succession plan. I would say 2.5, 3 might've been too long. But remember I was doing half time. So I spent half time at C&J anyway. So
And are you, so removed from 2020 on, so here we are a couple years later. So how often do you, so when did you stop being a part of the business or are you still a guest speaker at your old firm, or how's that work?
No, I'm gone. I'm gone. At December 31st, 2020 was my last day. Yep. Yeah. Awesome. And if you ever wonder about this career of 25 plus years, it took 2 hours when we were told we had to exit the buildings in 2020 to pull everything together and get the heck out. And I've never been back. Right.
Well, that's a success then. So that means it's fully operational and it's working.
Oh my gosh. So, fabulous. They've had a lot of growth.
Yeah. And so that's very cool. And I think what are you up to now? So you mentioned C&J Innovations. So tell us a little bit about life after the succession plan.
So we created a company that helps advisors open up the conversation, non-financial related, for their prospects and clients. And one of the ways to do that is through these two assessments. I always say simple, and they're not simple because they address people's mindsets, but is same thing that I was asking, where are they now? Where do they want to be in their future on 8 core mindsets, including partnership? Partnership is one of the ones that a lot of advisors originally are like, oh, I don't know if I want to ask them. I'm like, well, if they don't want to be in partnership with you, there is a number called 1-800-NO-HELP. And they would, let them go there. There's so many people who want good advisors in their life. So 8 mindsets for 45 and under, which are accumulation, and then above 45, which is what we call walk away, right? Because you want to walk away from what you don't love to do. And then we have workshops advisors can do. Any of us that have been asked to do workshops on what's a stock, what's a bond, what's a this, right? Retirement readiness. You know, this just adds a whole different layer because it's all non-financial related.
Mm. So
it's fun.
Yeah, and actually, thinking through that, so does your team put together things for those that are retired? So like ideas for advisors for, you know, pickleball and all that type of good stuff for those that are currently things to do while in retirement, since y'all aren't doing anything on the financial side? Or is that something y'all have ever thought about doing?
No, I haven't ever thought about doing it, but we might be able to put that in there under resources. We have a lot of stuff for resources for advisors for those 8 mindsets, but no, haven't. Mm-hmm. Though wellness is one of them, right? If you're going to play a big, hairy, audacious game, you've got to have your health. And that is you as an advisor or you as a client. We tend to see advisors think about that last. And Jeremy, you and I know we got to put our own oxygen mask on first if we're going to be there for our family, our friends, our clients, you know. And so that exercise piece is so key.
Very cool. So then, and that's an interesting avenue for, because you've done it so long, so you know where really the blind side or the blind spots are for advisors based off of your experience. So you can help with engaging conversation with customer to advisor in a non-threatening way based off of your experience, what I'm hearing. So,
yeah. And you know, they come in talking, we do it for annual reviews and they do it for prospects, and the clients and prospects come in talking about their mindsets instead of about what was my investment return. And that creates that whole different relationship with the advisor. You know, McKinsey's saying the advisor of the future is more like a life coach than an investment coach.
Mm-hmm.
It's the conversation in the industry, but how do you get there? How do you open up those conversations? And that's what the 5-minute assessment does. It allows, and it also gives action items for them, because we do have prospects or clients' kids that, you know, it may not be a right fit to work with, but you still want to add value. And this is a way to do it.
Mm-hmm. And also I mentioned earlier, so for those that caught that, so you've been a strategic coach for Dan Sullivan since, I believe, 2003. So what, a lot of the advisors that listen to this, very keen on what Dan's doing. Some have actually been involved in his programs over the years. So what piqued your interest to actually not only join the program, but also to become an actual coach underneath the program?
And be in the program now 23 years. You know what? I saw other people who were in coach, other advisors, because that's who the only people I was around when I was a single mom trying to build this business. I didn't have a lot of friends. Anyway, I saw them start really increasing their income, doubling and tripling their income, and taking more time off and more trips and having a more lovely life. You want to balance, but they were involved with so many different things. And I have to say, Strategic Coach has income qualifications, and I referred 10 people into Strategic Coach before I qualified for Strategic Coach. That's how much I saw that it was working. So then I've gone back. Maybe I've missed one or two quarters in 23 years, because everyone who's coaching has to be doing, you have to be an entrepreneur, you have to be using the tools, you have to be in your own workshop. Unlike some of the courses I've gone to speak with on entrepreneurs, that none of the professors have ever been entrepreneurs, that they're not having the struggle like, Jeremy, you were talking about, teams, employees. If it wasn't for employees, this could be a really easy business. But that's part of it. And how do we build that? And what do we do with it, et cetera? So, and that's why after 3 years, they asked me if, because I had such incredible success. And that's how I built my planning firm. Really, really, it took off because of that. They asked me to coach. And I love it because I get to be around people like you that are empowering people every day.
And it's very cool because I think everybody needs a coach, you know. Even Tiger Woods has a hitting coach. The greats of the greats, not the biggest fan of LeBron, but he spends $1 million on his body. So therefore, he has someone who's coaching him of what to eat and drink and so forth. So it's always good to have somebody there to bounce ideas off of. So very cool that get an opportunity to talk to somebody who's actually a strategic coach with Dan. And I think you have a lot of advice that you share with a lot of advisors. So maybe a question that some advisors may be thinking or not thinking, who's listening to this, are what are some of the biggest obstacles you actually hear from those advisors today that you actually speak to when you're doing these type of coaching events?
One of the things, I see that book on your shelf, Who Not How. The minute you start thinking about how can I get this done, the trick in your mind is, who can help me do this? Immediately pulls us to collaboration. It immediately pulls us that it doesn't have to be about us. And I'm reminded my little granddaughter, she was trying to do a basket and she just looked at me and said, I can't do it. I can't do it. And that's how a lot of, sorry, that was.
That's a good impression.
And you know, with young kids,
yeah,
but they do. They learn to walk. They change. And many advisors have gotten so set in their ways that they believe that this is the only way to do it. And you know, if we haven't changed our annual review process in the last couple of years, we need to change it. If we haven't changed our ways that we're engaging in social media, we need to change it, right? Change is going to happen. It happens all the time. The question is, are we in front of the change or behind the change? And unfortunately, a lot of advisors have to be drug along with change. But the really good advisors are like, yes, like, for the assessments, I thought we would start with new advisors using them and learning and everything. But you know who's really embraced them? The really good advisors who want to take it to the next level and the next level and the next level. And now it's filtering down, right? It is those advisors that love change. I think I love change is a good mantra to say every morning because it is what we do, right? And the habits, I am such a habit person. There's an Aristotelian quote that says, we are what we repeatedly do. Excellence then is not an act, but a habit. And it helps me to know that all I need to do is change some habits to get to the next level, right? And my clients, to help them get to the next level, and my family, right? So habits is a great focus. And you've talked about that before, Jeremy.
And man, I swear, I just want to high five you.
I want to say one more thing because I think it's really important.
Yeah.
If an advisor does an inventory for a week of all the things they're doing, I'd love for them to look over and see how many $20 an hour jobs they're doing. So many of us are staying busy doing things, and maybe you're making $500 an hour, or $1,000 or $250 or whatever you're making as an advisor, but and you're an entrepreneur, you're a business owner, right? It's the same thing, letting go of those. And I believe that you're giving jobs to other people that you shouldn't be doing, right? It doesn't allow your excellence to shine through. So that inventory is just I love it. We have everybody do it once a year.
And that's really a good point right there. How do you start that? So the person who's heard that and thought to themselves, that's a good idea. So when's a good time to do it? I know we're just starting the second quarter. How does an advisor go through that process? And how often, you said every year, or how often do y'all do that?
At least once a year. If they're growing, maybe twice. But get a yellow pad. Are you still opening all the mail? Are you still paying the bills? Are you still answering emails? All the emails, there are some that you need to, but what emails are you answering? Are you still placing trades? I quit placing trades 10 years before I sold the firm. Right. There are people that do that so good. And my job is to be in conversation. I never had a phone with me. I was never connected. I told people, the really good news is you will never be able to get a hold of me because you want me in conversation with you when I'm with you. And that's why we have such a great team. So I started using that we when I had half a person. So, It doesn't take a lot, half a person. Who's that we? A little person in my pocket. But the sooner I had college students come in and work, we had interns, we had high school students. It's just a good thing.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, and as we're wrapping up here, a lot of good advice, good nuggets. I have a whole page of stuff, even though we've chatted before. So I appreciate your time. Anything that we missed or final thoughts as we're wrapping up here?
No. If anyone wants to reach out to us about C&J and the assessments, please do. And Jeremy's made it so that we can give you a discount. So that's great. And you can go to our website, cnjinnovations.com, and take one of the assessments for yourself as you believe one of your prospects or clients might, and hopefully see a lot of value that's created.
And do it with your spouse, right? That's your motto. If you have your spouse, you got to do it with them, or they got to do it not together. They do it separately. Together. Yeah.
Yeah. Jeremy's heard this because Jeremy's done it, right? Yeah. Because we have different mindsets and different spouses are, we had one of our advisors, one of the spouses came in talking, that was a prospect, came in talking, saying, I'm a 10 on health and want to be a 12, and you're a 5 and want to be a 6. So, you're going to a nursing home. If you don't want to take care of yourself. And he's like, they're prospects. I knew they'd become clients.
No, that is good. Well, no, we appreciate that. And the website was, say that one again.
cnjinnovations.com. Colleen Perfect. And Jeannie, CNJ, really creative.
Love that. Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Colleen, for joining us on the podcast. Thank you for your time. Thank you also to the listener for tuning in. Make sure to subscribe on your favorite listening device so you do not miss out on any future episodes of the Advisor Mentorship Podcast. As we wrap up, connect and follow us on LinkedIn and YouTube at Jeremy Hauser. And as we continue to show video clips from our previous podcast recordings, and remember, in a world full of betas, be an alpha.
Thank you for listening to the InsureMark Advisor Mentorship Podcast with Vice President Jeremy Hauser. Click the follow button to be notified when new episodes become available and connect with Jeremy on LinkedIn to stay up to date. If you would like to request our introduction kit, feel free to check out www.advisormentorship.com and click on Learn More. The information covered and posted represents the views and opinions of the guest and does not necessarily represent the views or opinions of InsureMark. The content has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. Thank you for listening to the InsureMark, the Advisor Mentorship Podcast with InsureMark Vice President Jeremy Hauser.